Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And I'm calling in from Fire Island, and I'm joined here by Mark. Mark, you there?
And I'm on Manhattan Island.
Yeah, on the island surrounding Long Island. And we're waiting for Heather to join us from the wilds of the Mississippi River out there in Minnesota. Twin Cities, right? So,
yeah, island. She's on the island of North America.
On the island of North America, right? The continent. Yes, it's a good way to think of it. All right, so we have a lot of stuff going on in the sky. A lot of people leaving, actually. It's big departure week for folks rolling off into new lands, new things. Margot Adler died. A really good astrologer, Dave Ruel, who's a publisher of Astro America Books on the imprint, and he also ran a great bookstore. He left us today. Yeah, mm-hmm. he passed.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, he died on Sunday, apparently.
His heart. Yes, it is. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking from Minnesota. A lot of people left this week. That Venus-Pluto opposition took a lot of people out.
Yeah, and Dave, interestingly, when Jeff died, the Jeff, while you were gone, Heather, Jeff Allison, the blind astrologer, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a thing on my website about him, so Dave wrote me a note, and he said, very interesting, because he was born like 10 days before Dave was,
mm-hmm.
and Jeff died of a sudden heart attack, and of course, that's what Jeff, I think probably Dave did, because he's had heart. I haven't heard yet what he died of, but he had
I
lot
heard
of heart
that it
stuff.
Was his heart.
Yeah. Well, he's had a lot of heart stuff. And he had written to me that it was interesting that this guy died, 10 days, born 10 days before him had passed of a heart thing. And he, had heart issues. So he kind of sent me this reminiscent on Jeffrey, and now he's dead. Yeah. Well, it said Saturn Libra, too. The Saturn Neptune in Libra. With Venus-Pluto opposition, that would definitely be it. So
almost every time I see that Venus-Pluto opposition square and even sometimes conjunction, people die all the time. But there seems to be, it's often an easy way to go, but there seems to be high-profile deaths that make our heart, and all the deaths happening in Gaza right now, it makes your heart hurt. And it brings up the question of what is valuable in the face of life and death, and what is important and what's not important. What does our heart really crave? I knew someone who said, loved her. Mom was in great shape, perfectly independent. She had a nice time with her on Sunday. Came to check in her on Monday, and she was sitting in the same chair that she had left her in, only dead the next morning.
Right.
And so it was a fairly easy exit, but a real shock to her family.
Yeah, and I think it, those hard oppositions, Venus-Pluto, of course, is always about what we love leading us on some level. So I mean, we just had the conversation like a couple weeks ago, so I was kind of shocked, but at the same time, I'm like, well, told me he's got the same chart as Jeff, He just died on 4th of July, and he died now. So not that everybody who's born in that same month is going to die. Don't get worried. But,
it's when you see 3 plane crashes in 1 week, it's easy to forget that 80,000 planes land every day just fine.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes when we get talking about this, people go, am I going to die? I'm born in that month. And they're like, no, calm down. It's okay. But
your heart may hurt, but most people will feel that in an emotional capacity rather than a physical capacity.
Right. And I think there has been a lot of relationship changes lately with people really feeling very deeply, big in their emotional commitment and how they want to work with it and what's important to them.
Yeah. And even because the next response is a Venus Uranus square, so if this feels too lonely, then the square kicks in. Then the Venus-Uranus quick release bindings disappeared, the person disappears. But I know, you know, many people who are doing fine in their relationships, there's it's their past that they're mourning, or it's some sadness from the past that's really painful. Mm-hmm. And now they're safe enough to go process that. So it can, it can, you know, all we know is that it's, there's a sense of grief and remembering what we really care about. One of the most obvious ways is somebody leaves or dies or hurts, but there are many ways that that Venus-Pluto aspect can act out.
Right, right. Well, and also this week, the Venus, of course, finishes with Pluto and Uranus, and then at the end of the week, she moves into a lovely trine with Saturn and Chiron. So we're going to have a huge grand in water, which is a lot of energy around emotional healing, around wounds. And, of course, go back to age 16, because that's where they are, 16, 17. And, of course, Israel's Saturn is at 16 Leo. About your at age 16, you know, because we're healing that time, that frame, that framework, what was going on then. So, and with transpiring in water, Venus, Chiron, and Saturn are all really asking us to kind of trust the process on some on some deeper level, you know, that whatever's coming up for us. And also when Chiron's involved in Pisces, certainly there's also a little element of victimization. We were talking in Exology Day this week. And Mark and I want to invite anybody who listens to the radio show, feel free to stop by on Tuesdays at the Open Center. And Gretchen or Rose or blah, blah, blah. Heather, are you teaching whatever your name is?
Next Tuesday at the Eye of Horus here, the first Tuesday of every month, I have an astrology chart clinic here in Twin Cities, and we talk charts. We'll be talking, we'll take this aspect and go deeper into the charts that people bring. So it's a great place to get a quick reading, or if you're anywhere near the Twin Cities. Eye of Horus has just moved, so Google their website and check it out.
Yeah, very cool. And Mark and I are on 30th Street between Madison and so, but yeah, so it's also, you know, a great time to form a community. And with Chiron, one of the women in that comes to that group, Gretchen, was talking about people kind of feeling like they have, they're standing in their victimization role. And so when you're feeling like, that's, of course, the Chiron in Pisces. And it's also why all these people are walking on crutches, because Chiron is in Pisces. But the you know, feeling victimized or feeling picked on. And so when that happens, it's also very often a shadow issue or an old issue, an old emotional issue from when you're 16, 17. So pull it up and go, wow, what happened to me back then? And let me understand. You know, so I had talked on Sunday. I had a fight with a client, and I was kind of, I don't usually do that, but it was like we'd worked on something for a long time. And I have a therapist I talk to when I have problems with clients. And she said, okay, so who never listened to you? And I went, my mother. And, you know, you can talk till you're blue in the face, but, you know, sometimes people don't listen. I went, oh, okay, you know, because at age 16, that's who didn't listen to me, right? So understanding we're all age 16 right now, whatever our experience was then, and look, being asked to understand it on a new level, and to look at it in a different way. And not to be the victim role, and not to be angry. And also, maybe you're not going to be heard the way you wanted to be heard, but this is an opportunity to speak up and heal that wound. So encouraging people to speak up, not coming from a wounded place, just saying, I'm just trying to understand this a little better, you know. And if we all can stand in that place, it makes this energy much more accessible, I think. So, but I also have a lot of planets at 16, 17, so I'm like, my chart's like right now. So,
yeah, I have Saturn at 16, so it's it turned around exactly on my Saturn. And I'm in the image I have on the cusp of my third, and I've been thinking a lot about my relations with my brother who is still recovering from a pretty severe motorcycle accident years ago that left him brain damaged, and how he's doing. So that's, you know, he has to have the bone skull, the skull of the bones of his skull and did not knit together in one place, and so he has to have that his skull operated on again. As Saturn turns direct, he found out as Saturn, you know, stationed on my Saturn on the cusp of my third house, which is siblings. So, you know, it's amazing how it can live that out.
And that accident was when you were in New York with us. Was that 7 years ago?
Yeah, it was 7 years ago, that accident.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because it was when because he had that accident. We were all down at East West Books. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know if he was going to recover that and make it to that night, and we didn't know if he was going to make it to the next 6 weeks. And he did, and he's up, and he's got some emotional issues, and he's got, you know, he'll probably never work again, but he's driving, he's walking, he's caretaking his son, he's doing, who's in high school, he's doing a lot. But parts mm-hmm. of the bone are still breaking loose from the, they took off a third of his skull for a few months, put in the freezer, and then put it back on. And
I remember that, yeah. They took it over,
and
we were kind of
it didn't seal up in the back, and so parts of it are breaking loose and going, hitting his brain and causing migraines.
Yeah.
But he's doing so much better than they thought. And this, you know, they can put in a piece of mesh and keep it from happening again if they can get out the little pieces that are floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Well, the skull is bones, which is Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Which is Saturn. Bones of my brother, Saturn on the cusp of my third house. I was,
wow.
Pretty amazing how that lives out.
Yeah, yeah. And so for those of you who, remember, we always teach here on Astro mm-hmm. Access Astrology, you know, Saturn cycles at 7 years, there's a test from
yep.
the initial, right? So
mm-hmm.
7 years. 14 and a half years, and then 22 years,
mm-hmm.
and then, of course, full cycle of 29. So, wow, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's what it is, so no more migraines, yeah.
Yes, we hope.
Yeah,
so
well, no,
that's pretty cool.
Working on the process, yeah. And
mm-hmm,
also this
mm-hmm.
week, we have a finger of God with the sun. It aspects,
mm-hmm.
not only how Neptune and Pluto are in kind of a cosmic sextile for like years and years and years, but right
mm-hmm.
now, this week, as planets go through and in Leo, hit that 7 to 13, 11, I think it is, Pluto, it's setting off a finger of God. So the sun's going through there now. Venus will soon. Mercury did last week, I think. Mercury's going to do it. I'm losing track of where planets are right now. But so we are having an opportunity to really see Neptune, the dream, and then come up with a new structure for it. Pluto. How do we want to build that new dream? And the sun in Leo really is inviting us to come up with a vision for our dream, or a vision
mm-hmm.
On what we're trying to accomplish. So I think it's a big week. And then, of course, the Mars-Jupiter square. Mark had great things to say about this on Tuesday at Access. Do you want to do it again, Mark?
Well, let's see. it won't be the same.
I know, it won't be the same. It's your Pisces.
Yeah. The Mars squaring Jupiter, though, that's always one to watch out for, impulse
mm-hmm.
and just overdoing actions and committing to actions that are bigger than you're really ready for. But if you can avoid the exaggeration, it's a great time to really
mm-hmm.
own your
mm-hmm.
actions and really express to its fullest your will. So just don't overfill, you know, that's the danger of Jupiter. But if you keep things lined up well, then you've got Jupiter in Leo in a fire sign saying, you know, what is it that you really desire to do? What coming really from the depths of your will? What is
mm-hmm.
it? And Jupiter says, I will protect you. Go ahead and just name it, and you know. I'll make it happen. So it's a good time to make it happen as Mars moves into that square.
Mm-hmm. But you may find yourself in an argument over the dumbest things with your family. The tendency
yeah.
is to just wrestle. And
yeah.
can we wrestle with a cause? Can we wrestle with our personal best? We don't need to necessarily wrestle with each other.
Yeah, if it's an unexamined will, then we just go with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the mood of the moment, and we get very willful about that mood of the
mm-hmm.
moment. But in fact, it's a kind of a blind exercise of the will. better mm-hmm. to have a vision and say, no, my longer-term will is this,
mm-hmm.
and put the energy into what that is rather than energy into reacting to what's going on around you or what you perceive as blocking your will. You know,
mm-hmm.
with Mars squaring Jupiter, you can go around it. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's the sense of being blocked lifts if you're looking at what you really want to do, not what who's keeping you from doing it.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really about agreeing not to be blocked. Or agreeing on your bigger vision, maybe is a better way to
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a certain athleticism, but also, unfortunately, militarism with this Mars-Jupiter square. People will tend, you know, I'm hearing people with revenge fantasies that are absolute pacifists
mm-hmm.
and never really thought about revenge, but they're still thinking about how they could get back on somebody and not proud of it, but it's showing up. And I look at how hard it is with Mars and Scorpio in this square Jupiter to get to create peace. If we can think that instead of acting out the negative hero role, we can use it in a very positive way. How can we redirect that militarism away from confrontation and into real heroism? So, where it's
mm-hmm.
curious how to use that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think when we're looking at the Jupiter in Leo, it wants to be the hero. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
I'm out here on Fire Island, and we were sitting on the deck of this bar having pina coladas this afternoon. This margarita.
Mm.
This Leo guy comes over to us. He goes, "So, where are you from?" And, you know, he's like, "Tell me stuff about myself." And I'm like, "I've been drinking. I don't do readings when I've been drinking."
Right.
You know, we were just kind of talking about the role of the hero and wanting to be the king and wanting to be seen, you know, just basic, you know, Leo byword. And he was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I want to be the king. You know, I like being the king. And I think if we know that part of what Leo wants, Jupiter and Leo wants us to do, and the sun in Leo, it wants us to be the hero of our own story. And for us to say, gee, you know, on this day, I had this thing happen, and I decided I needed to directly talk about it and deal with it and act as a hero of my life, rather than thinking, oh, gee, that's a bad thing, or feeling bad about myself. I spoke up and I became my own hero. And I think if we can look at that part of the chart where we can be the hero of our own story, rather than feeling like we're victimized or we're feeling like someone's picking on us, or, you know, where we go, okay, how can I be the hero of my own, take action where I'm the hero of my story in a good way, in a kind
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a kind and gentle way kind of thing, you know, it's good. What does that look like? You know, that pure creative. We had these three little girls came over to us and they were playing, they had this beautifully decorated pink shell with sparkles on it, and, you know, some flowers, and they were kind of talking with us, and, like, how old are you? And we were like, how old are you? And they 5 and a half. How old do you think I am? You know, and so they were, you know, it was like, like grown-ups always say to kids, how old are you? So their question to us as a way of greeting was, how old are you? You know, and we were like, oh, yeah, good question. It's understanding they were like, we want to play with you, and we think that's the greeting for when you meet someone that you don't know. And it's understanding. It's the Leo creative play time. And if
mm-hmm.
we can stand in that, we can go, well, I think I want to be 22 today, you know. So it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think expanding on that in many ways in our life, where we can expand into our own creative play, is important. So sounds good.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Good. What else do we have this week?
The Mars, the Grand Trine in Water, the Finger of God, the pile of aspects Mercury makes on Friday, too.
Friday's rocking.
Yeah. Since that's a big rocking
both this
day.
Friday and next. So there's some really interesting aspects coming through.
Yeah. The Mercury's all
mm-hmm.
over the place on Friday. Plus, he's moving really quickly right now. He's going 2 degrees a day. So he
and Mercury's about to enter Leo.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So he'll set off the finger of God, too. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have Venus go through there, too. She's in Cancer. So.
Now, right now with Venus and Mars both in highly introverted, introspective water signs, we may feel a little bit more guarded, a little bit more private, needing more time to ourselves, and more introverted, needing a little bit more time to recharge by ourselves or with our most intimate people. And that's really different for Leo season, which is usually the most outgoing time of the year. And though the sun is in Leo and there are afternoons on the porch with your pina coladas, as you were saying, that's still pushing it a bit for many people, or they can go do that, then they need some time alone. When Mercury goes into Leo, at least that storytelling, it will bring up some of our desire to connect, and it'll feed the art scene and the arts world. It may add extra bombast to, you know, political machinations, but it can bring up our, we may not be one to reveal too much about our deepest personal nature, but we're willing to tell a good story and have a good camaraderie, and that, you know, the banter can be a way of relating without really exposing our tender selves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's recognizing that it's really about, you know, what is your dream for yourself, you know,
mm-hmm.
and not feeling too old to have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, I'm too old for my dream. It's like, no, you're still here. You know, go make the dream happen.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting week. A lot of Virgo, too. So you get a lot of conflict
mm-hmm.
yesterday
mm-hmm.
and tomorrow. And then the Libra aspects are good, too, for getting things done. So,
mm-hmm.
so all to the good. So we should take calls from listeners, yes?
Yes.
We have a couple. Fine. Okay. Alrighty. Hi, 601. You're on the air. I picked you up earlier. You're not Heather, but you're somebody else. Who are you?
Yes. Hi, this is Tara. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, how can we help you?
Hi.
My birthday is 11/3/85.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to ask a question about the love life. When do you see it moving?
Do you have a time and a place of your birth? Do you know what time you're born?
It's 2:21 a.m. in Hattiesburg,
mm-hmm.
Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm so glad I got you. Thanks.
Mm. So I have your moon down at 11 degrees of Cancer and your ascendant at 11 Virgo, and Pluto is sitting at 11 Capricorn, opposed your moon and trining your ascendant. It looks like your love life has gone through that you've had some real recent emotional ups and downs.
Yes,
Venus
always.
You know, you're a Scorpio moon in Cancer with the Venus and Mars in Libra. You have so much to give and so much emotional content and are extremely romantic. It looks like you sometimes get sucked into mothering your relationships instead of really partnering with them. And then, you know, it feels safer to take care of them, and then they're not really there for you. So we want you to, do you do work where you are in any way a caretaking person?
I actually do work in a hospital, and I'm going back to school for nursing. I've always been drawn to that,
That's about perfect, you know, that moon and Cancer up there trining your planets. If you caretake for a living, then you don't have to caretake in your relationships. And then you can draw in someone who's more of an equal. What do you see, Anne?
And I've always, so I am a Virgo ascendant because I've always felt like a Libra ascendant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you may be understanding the Virgo. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the Venus and the Moon square, whenever I see that, I always say to people, the client, you have to do both. So the Moon wants to nurture, and then the Venus wants to be the love partner. So every day, you know, you have to kind of alternate between them. And what can happen is you can get somebody who wants you to take care of them, or someone who just wants you to be their mistress or, you know, their love goddess, and then they – so you kind of have to do both. And when you have an aspect where the two of them are in conflict, if you can really give yourself permission to kind of bounce, okay, today I'm going to take care of you, and then tomorrow I'm going to nurture you and love you. What's the word there?
That happens a lot, yeah.
Okay, so you have to kind of do both. And, I, you know, I have a friend whose son is, you know, has met a woman, and she does both for him. You know, sometimes she's the mother goddess, nurturing, caring, feeding him, you know, putting him on. And another time she's the love goddess, and she's, you know, his woman of desire. So with your chart, because of the aspect between the two, you have to kind of go, okay, I did the mothering thing. Now I got to do the love goddess thing. And they both need to be fed. And, and again, if you use up the, like Heather's point, if you use up your energy taking care in a work environment, because the Moon is so high in the chart, you know, people see you as a natural maternal figure and the Virgo rising really practical. But they don't always see the love goddess part down there. That's below the horizons, below the surface. And you do feel like Libra because Libra is part of your first house. So you are a Virgo-Libra mix. But the Virgo is the part where it's a little more, that's the nurse interest, and that's also the interest in being of service. So, you know, you can still keep your Libra rising because part of it's in there, right? A good chunk of it's Libra.
That's right.
And understand if you bounce. Yeah, well, no, I always hate to take away from a Virgo rising. You can be a Libra too, no worries.
Not always trying to take care of people.
Yes.
And again, do that at work, not at home. You want people in your life to love that are self-responsible and appreciative. And you've just, you know, your progressed Moon has just entered Leo. You're heading into a much more outgoing, extroverted time in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pluto's entering your house of relationship, of love affairs. So I think that you're heading into meeting new people and having the chance to bring someone in who's been through a profoundly difficult experience but is coming out the other side.
And
you want to make sure that they are coming out the other side, not that they're stuck in it and asking you to save them. That's for work. And at home, if they're doing their own homework, you want someone who's interesting, who's been through an experience in life, and who's doing their own self-care and exploring.
Right. And the thing you said about the Saturn 7-year cycle, I'm fixing to be 29 in November. Is that going to get better? Or how does that work?
And your Saturn is at 28 Scorpio. So you're just, you know, you're going back to work, right?
Yes.
You're going back to school for the new level of responsibility in your work situation. That's a classic use of a good Saturn return.
Yeah.
So
you're probably
on schedule for that, and that'll be
done
by
December.
You're
on track. You'll really feel that you're on track. So.
Great. I'm so glad I called in. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And the British lady said we just have a minute left, so... Mark, do you want to add anything?
No, I think that we pretty well covered that.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Good.
And so. I always love your show, too. I can't wait to listen to it this weekend. So I'm waiting on that.
Good.
Well, y'all take care. And have a wonderful week with this energy. Use it wisely and use it well, and enjoy telling stories with one another.
Yeah.
I will.
This is Heather signing off from Minnesota.
And Mark from New York City.
And Ann Ortley signing off from here on Fire Island.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Take care.
Catch you all next week, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.